Hello and welcome back to Project Pod with me, Marietta Sandilands. Stories of people who've changed the way they work to create a life that they want by building their own business or side project. In these podcasts, the people who've been on this process share really what they've learned along the way to inspire you into action and show you that it's possible. So today I was speaking with Nicole Est. So Nicole is a careers coach who talks about the process of creating her ideal day. Most recently, she's been working remotely from Costa Rica, surfing alongside her day job. And we talk a lot about the process of the transition and the steps that you take along the way to getting to where you want to get to. Trying things out for size, seeing what fits, and getting curious really about what you want. We talked about the spark for the transition being a surfing holiday, much like the story of the guest in my previous podcast, Helen Reynolds. And Nicole talks about how after this initial surfing holiday, that led to more surf holidays until she became convinced that she wanted this to be part of her daily life. And galvanised into action after family illness in 2015, Nicole then went on to develop her surf coaching business for late surf beginners, which then became the career coaching business that she has today. And I really love how Nicole talks about surfing and what a powerful experience it's been in her life. She talks about the feeling of freedom that she has and feeling at one with the ocean, that amazing sense of reconnecting to herself and really having to learn to listen to her body and be patient in order to make progress. So I hope that you enjoy today's episode.
Okay, so today I'm here with Nicole Est. I hope I've pronounced your surname right, Nicole.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So Nicole, I first found out about you, I think, through seeing what you were doing in Costa Rica and seeing that you were surfing out there, but also doing some coaching work with people and living this kind of ideal life, I think, for lots of people, as it seems from the outside, working remotely and doing something that you love that draws upon your previous experience. So, Nicole, can you tell us what is it that you do in Costa Rica?
Well, right now I'm in Costa Rica. I arrived here mid-December last year, so I'm here already for 4 months. And I just love to be here. It's one of my happy places. I've been here before. It's Playa Guiones. It's a little quiet surf and yoga town in the jungle on the Pacific coast. And you see a lot of monkeys and birds and animals everywhere. And this is really a privilege. I can surf every day and work as a coach, as a career change coach. And since I work remotely, I work via Zoom, I can work from wherever I want. Well, I discovered that the Wi-Fi internet is, of course, very important. In the jungle, it's sometimes difficult, but you adapt. I mean, I'm always at least 30 minutes before every call, I'm ready, because sometimes you just have to change, you are still sweating because, well, it's really hot here and you were running, or even if you just sit, you're just sweating, and or you need some more off the repellent against the mosquitoes. So yeah, and I just love it here.
What was the process that took you to this point? Because I'm presuming you didn't just suddenly move out here. What was the process? Because I think that's the really interesting thing for people to hear, as it can seem deceptively simple, like you just landed there, you made the decision to maybe leave your job and go there. But was this a quick process? Did it take a long time? What was the whole process that led up to it in terms of work?
Yeah, that's interesting, because, well, today I'm living this ideal day, and it really feels now, after 4 months, it feels normal. But it took me at least, when you see the whole process, maybe 5 or 6 years. And also I only started the surfing late. I started 6 years ago. And I think that was really the starting point. I always wanted to learn how to surf. It was always on my list. And I just booked 1 week of holidays just to see if I really like it. And if I don't like it, I decide, well, you just spent 1 week at the beach reading a book. But I loved it from the first moment. It was, well, we say I got hooked from the very first moment. And but at that time, I was still in a corporate job. I was working as a business consultant in a big multinational company in Germany, being in a lot of business meetings. And then suddenly you find yourself in the ocean with a surfboard and just excited about every wave who's coming. And I think the first thing you discover with surfing is it's just you and the ocean and nothing else. And you forget completely about your life. And this is what every surf beginner says. You see those exhausted people coming from business jobs and then they start surfing and suddenly at the beach you say, oh, wow, I'm in the water and there's nothing else. All the worries, all the stress, business meeting, it's just away. And when you catch your first wave, that's the best thing. You have this big, really, I would recommend to everyone, even if you don't like the water, just go to the beach and watch surf beginners to start. If they catch the first wave, they have this big smile. It's like this joy of a child, like, wow, I did it. And when you surf the wave, it's a feeling of freedom. Sometimes people ask me, well, what is it about surfing? And when you catch the wave, which is just a few seconds, it's not even a long, long ride usually. It can be a long ride. But then you have this feeling of freedom and you're just completely in the moment. And you feel yourself, you're free, you're just one with the ocean and the wave. Well, not always. Should enjoy the wipeouts. But it's just priceless. And it really reconnects you to yourself. And then starts all the journey with, you get frustrated because you want to progress very fast, which is not possible in surfing. It's a whole journey with ups and downs, and you have to motivate yourself again after big wipeouts. You will get injuries during the first year. You have to build up muscles, which you didn't even know you were supposed to have them. And yeah, so I started 6 years ago, and the first 2-3 years, it was just about my job and the surf trips. And I really tried to get better and better. But then, of course, you think about, oh, I want to spend more time at the ocean. And I want to be better in surfing. But which is with the normal holidays, which you get with a corporate job, it's difficult. And then you start. And then at the same time, I was reading the book from Marion Cantwell, Be a Free Range Human. And this really changed my life, and I was doing all the exercises, figuring out how I can integrate those ideal day ingredients. I designed my ideal day. So what do I want to do? I want to wake up, I want to have a sunrise surf, then a healthy breakfast with friends, then work with my laptop on creative projects, speaking with people all over the world, being independent, being able to travel, then having an afternoon surf, well, actually the day what I'm having now. So I designed this ideal day. But it took me years to get there. And I think that's important to know, because now the people see me, oh, you are happy in Costa Rica surfing every day, but it took me really different phases to get here. So then I figured out, how can I surf more? I invented these mini escapes during the weekends, like taking the last airplane on Friday just to surf and taking the last airplane on Sunday evening back just to have these 2.5 days of surfing on Canary Islands. But it's interesting, my grandparents, they moved to Canary Islands and lived the past 20 years over there at the surf spot. But I didn't. And I was always going over as a kid, passing my holidays over there. And I loved the waves. I didn't start to surf, but I think that is why I somehow feel this connection to the ocean. Yeah, so then was this whole phase of mini project, trying to reduce the time I was spending at work, being more efficient, having better results in a shorter time. I was thinking about changing my job. At that time, I couldn't imagine to quit my job. The security, I had a very, very good job, very good boss. I mean, it was a dream job. You don't give up. And then I did a yoga teacher training besides for half a year. So working full time and doing the yoga teacher training, which already was a huge change, because suddenly I was working with bodies, with breathing, with it was totally different than this very brainy work in corporate business. And I think the next big step was the sabbatical. It was in 2015. It was a very decisive year. So I had, during 2-3 years, I had this longing for a change, changing my job, changing my life concept, not going to a corporate job anymore. And then in 2015, my dad got cancer. Mm-hmm. And it was, well, during 5-6 months, I was only going back and forth between the hospital, between my job and being exhausted. And it was a very intense time. And it's interesting because I remind it more as a very positive time. Of course, it was super sad. It was ups and downs. You never know which results you get. Everyone who has gone through cancer knows this. But you really appreciate life so much more. It was such a wake-up call, and you really think about it. Oh my God, you just have this one life. What are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. And well, to make it short, it was at the end of the chemo. Well, we were lucky. He got through the chemotherapy. And then I went on a Friday evening. I was exhausted after my job, and I felt really like, oh my God, this can't go on like this. And I just went to the cinema, watching a movie on my own. And it was by coincidence. It was a movie about a woman who had ALS, and she had only 6 months to live. So it really triggered the question in the whole movie, what would you do if you had only 6 months to live? Mm-hmm. And I was with the cancer story, and I was sitting there and the tears were just running down my cheeks, and I was thinking, but the funny thing is, in that moment, it just popped up what I would really do. I was thinking, oh, it's travel and surf around the world for 6 months with my own surfboard. But then next moment, I was thinking, no, Nicole, this is impossible. Maybe you can get 1 month off work, mm-hmm. but never 6 months. And I knew that my boss is not very in favor of sabbaticals.
Yeah,
because it's difficult for employers when mm-hmm. somebody goes away for 6 months and then comes back. But we had this program. And then I started to think, and one of my favorite quotes is, figure out what you want, which is already really difficult. So I figured out I want to be at the ocean every day and surf, and then learn how to ask for it. And then I really prepared how I could ask my boss for that sabbatical. I prepared a transition plan. I prepared options how I can be replaced, what I can do after the sabbatical. And I still remember when I was driving to work at this day, I was so excited. I was really convincing myself, Nicole, you're going to ask. It's just one question. It's just, I don't know, maybe 10 words. You just pronounce these 10 words. You ask for it at least. Then he can say no. And then you can figure out what you can do else. And and to make it short, I got the sabbatical. I still remember for 2 or 3 days, I was, well, in surf we say you are stoked. I was completely stoked and thinking, oh, wow, I can really fulfill my dream. And that mm-hmm. was also good because then I was preparing instead of, yes, my dad had to recover and from the chemotherapy, but I was preparing the sabbatical, and at the same time, I was showing my parents the movies or YouTube videos about the countries I was going to travel to. So we got all excited and we forgot a little bit the cancer thing. And yeah, and then in December 2015, I started to go on a sabbatical. I can remember that before, 6 weeks before, I got really scared about the sabbatical. I was, oh my God, you can't do this. And it's, well, I was used to travel alone, but 6 months is a whole other story.
Yeah.
And you have to organize so much and an insurance or health insurance and all that stuff. And I still remember that that there were moments I was thinking, oh, maybe you just cancel it. But knowing deep inside, I knew that's the thing you're going to do. And anyway, you can always go back, take an airplane and, yeah, and then I started in December 2015. And this is funny, I started here in Playa Guiones, Costa Rica, because this is always on my list. They have beautiful waves here, and it was a dream to surf these waves. So I started here for five weeks at first. And I know a lot of people here, and it has become a second home for me. And I passed mm-hmm. the three past Christmas and New Year's Eves here in Playa Guiones.
Amazing. And when was that then that you first went there? That was about 3 or 4 years ago that you first...
2 years, well, December 2015 when I was starting the sabbatical. Because, okay. of course, in a 2 weeks holidays, it's a long way to get here. And, to get to Costa Rica, this is still feasible. But then you have to get from San Jose to the coast and you have a surfboard. Yeah. So this is the luxury of a sabbatical. You can just invest 2-3 days in traveling from A to B, and it doesn't matter because it's not shortening your 2 weeks holidays from a corporate job.
I think it's really interesting hearing there were various things that you thought about when thinking about making a change, and it wasn't like you just went from a working in your job to then living the life that you were living. It was very much through this process of experimenting and trying things out. And you know, you could have gone down the yoga teacher path, for example, and that was a whole other adventure in itself. But actually through going and integrating this surfing in your life, it became naturally more and more part of your life. And it's so interesting hearing that you were saying before when we were speaking about how surfing changes your life. And there seems so many parallels in terms of, you know, kind of crucial life lessons when you're talking about things like needing patience and failure that you all go through. But why, what is it that for you is so, I know you've said a little bit about it, but why surfing changes your life? And I know the name of your company now is Catch a Wave.
So
Catch a Wave. Yeah. So has definitely changed your life and inspires you to change help other people with making their changes.
Yeah, I think it's when you're in the ocean, it's just about you without all these layers of your roles you play in your job, in your family, in your social life. It really reconnects you with yourself. And I've seen it with so many friends. And you get very humble, very authentic again. Because, you're playing with a very, very big partner, which is the ocean. And he teaches you. Well, for me, it's a he, the ocean. First of all, to have patience. I was so ambitious. I wanted, I had my checklist. I want to achieve this and this and this in my next surf holidays. And I had a training plan, and I was going with the little children's boogie board to the pool to just train the paddling. So me, it was all about achieving and getting better faster. And then I would arrive in Gran Canaria, where is my home spot. And for 3 or 4 days, there were just no waves or surfable waves. There was a storm. Nobody was in the water. It was super dangerous. And you were standing there in front of the ocean. I had tears. Literally, I had tears in my eyes. And no, but I've trained now. And now I want to surf. And then you learn, the ocean is not a wave machine. And you have to adapt. If it's like this, and at that moment I could be I could be really moody for 4 days because I couldn't surf. Well, this is something every surfer knows, but when there are no waves, it's you don't feel so good, but you get more used to it and you really adapt. If today the waves are not good, like this morning I went for my sunrise surf at 6 a.m. and the waves were not good. Also, the forecast was really good. But you say, okay, then it's like this. You adapt. You leave it a little bit earlier. You still enjoy the day. And I got much more patient than before. That really taught me. And also, when you're overambitious, you go for waves who are far too big for you, which are too big for you. And then you will get really bad wipeouts. You can get injuries. I had, during my first year, I had all kind of injuries, from a broken toe, my ribs were bruised. Not every surf beginner has these, but this was because I was so overambitious and not listening to my body. This is also, it reconnects you to your body. And if you don't listen to your body, if your body really tells you, listen, I'm so weak. We went for surfing 3 days. I'm exhausted. I don't have these muscles. And it really, literally, you can't, especially when you start. The fourth day, it's always the worst day. You can't even take out a t-shirt because your arms are hurting, they're so sore, then it's time to listen to your body. But you wouldn't at first because you're so in your mind and convincing, no, but we have to go because we have this training plan. But that doesn't work. And nowadays, it's rare that I have injuries and you really learn just to go out in the ocean, to play there when you're really, well, in shape and not exhausted and not scared. And then it's always this, you can challenge yourself in the ocean. Because, well, when after a while you get better and then it's time to paddle out. The first time you paddle out, it's a big moment and first you're scared. So you are constantly enlarging your comfort zone. And, well, anyway, maybe you're always in your stretch zone. And you're challenging yourself and then you get better and you learn how to handle your fears. Because, oh, this is also a thing. It's even on my website. This is something my surf coach here told me. Look where you want to go. When you pop up on a really big wave and you want to go down the line and, well, big wave. Let's say an overhead wave. For me, it's like jumping off a building 10 meters down. And it's not. Sometimes it's even just 30 centimeters and you think, oh, wow, this is a big jump, which is not true. And your body would tell you to look down where you would have the wipeout. And it looks, like I said, it looks really high. But what you should do, you should look to the left or to the right where you want to surf. And you look to the crest of the wave? Like really where you want to go? Because then you adjust your body, you turn your body and you angle your board and then you can go down the line. And this is something... And I don't look down anymore on my board, neither down on the wave, because you shouldn't concentrate on the wipeout. And that's something I also do with my coaches. I always develop this vision. Where do you want to go? Which is your wave? And then you concentrate all your actions, all your focus on this vision, on this goal, where you want to go. And each thing you're doing, ask yourself, oh, is this the way I really want to go? Like, for example, they proposed me another job before I was quitting my job. They were proposing me another job, which was a great job. And I would have loved to take this job years before. But I was really thinking, honestly, look where you want to go, Nicole. This is not, it was in a town, there was no ocean. And it wouldn't have given me enough freedom to build up my business besides. So I said no to this job because that was not the wave I wanted to catch.
Excellent.
I could go on for hours.
Yeah. No, I love hearing. I'm just imagining myself there almost as if I was able to surf. It's a brilliant analogy. And so nice to have been taken there in that moment with you. I was wondering as well, so now you, aside from the surfing, you work coaching people, but how did that come about in terms of, was that something that you were doing in your previous job? Did you train as a coach? What was the, how did you come to be doing that?
Yeah, this was a whole journey.
And how did you know that was what you wanted to do?
Because
that was suited to you. I know it's a popular thing at the moment, coaching people, but how did you know it was right for you?
Yes. Actually, I was doing coaching for years already, but I didn't know that I'm good at coaching and I'm doing it nearly every day. In my past job, I was a personal consultant of a management board member. I also had my projects on my own. But most of the time I was consulting, giving advice, motivating people, coaching people. If you had new executives, I would have meetings, onboarding meetings with them. So I was always in this second role, advising people. And then I went off the sabbatical and was thinking, well, great, you're going to have the light bulb moment about your next job and you're going to quit immediately and then you're after your sabbatical directly in your new job role. But that didn't happen. not at all. I loved the sabbatical. And after the 6 months, I sat down and was thinking, okay, what did you really learn about yourself? And it was that I love to motivate people and inspire people, because a lot of people ask me about my story. I took some often people for the first time with me in the water just to paddle around or catch easy waves. So to motivate people to change their life, to try something new. And I often ended up during my world traveling time speaking with people about how they can change their life, how they can find outsmart a little bit the system to get a sabbatical or to go part-time and then build up their job, their self-employed job besides. So, and then often people would write me an email even afterwards, oh, Nicole, thank you for the advice. I did this and it really worked. Thank you. But at that time, I would never have thought, yeah, you're going to be a coach. That was something I was not permitting myself to. So I went back after sabbatical for a whole year into my corporate job. And it's funny, I think I somehow expected that something, that a miracle would happen and would take me out of the corporate job and say, here, Nicole, this is your new job. Surprise, it didn't happen. The first 6 months back, it was really hard. Well, I had to go to business meetings again, be in the office every day, drive around in a car. My job was awesome and I got a very, very good project for that year. But when you've been every day in the ocean and running around in flip-flops every day and then going back to corporate, for me personally, it was, I know other people that are totally happy to go back and have their normal life back. For me, it was not the case. So
I think it's really interesting that often we're used to when we're in, you know, we're working a job and haven't quite built that experimental muscle, really. You're thinking about, you're waiting for the light bulb moment. You're passively, as though it's like going to suddenly, yeah, I'm going to know what I need to do. But you said, so you were 6 months into it. It was a good project. But for you, the timing wasn't right to be there. You felt like you needed to be elsewhere surfing.
Yeah.
So you've kind of, 6 months have gone by waiting for the light bulb, light bulb. Yeah. So then what?
Yeah. So what I did, and this was also a puzzle or a piece of the puzzle, I did for 3 months on how to build up your online business course, really the basics in a group coaching. And I built up a website called catchyourwave.de, the one I have today. And it was for late surf beginners. And it's funny, at that time, it was more like how you can start to surf when you're older, but it was also about this life-changing moment. So it was already a little bit what I was doing today. So I learned all the basics because I knew I would need that. And oh, I remember I had my big goal and I had it written everywhere. It was surf, travel, and work remotely. This was, Nicole, you want to get that. This was my look where you want to go. And you see this every day. I mean, I put it up everywhere, on my screen, on my phone, everywhere. And then in December, I had 3.5 weeks holidays, and I went back to Costa Rica again to Playa Guiones. And that really built up my muscle on my decision. No, you love it so much here. You want to be at the beach. You want to be in the ocean every day. It's here. And I mean, I've met more and more long-term travelers and digital nomads, self-employed people, successful people. And the funny thing is, the more you meet these people, I became the alien. Usually I would be the alien in the corporate world. But among these people, I was the alien. What? You still have like a real contract with a company and you just get these holidays off? So I was the alien. And then you see, well, there's so many other concepts of life. And that makes it also easier to then somehow make the bigger leap. So that reconnected me with the surfing, with myself, and saying, okay, Nicole, you just have this one life, just do it. And I knew that I would do the change, but yeah. And then I went back to Germany, and then I handed in, I was strong enough to hand in my notice. I took a coach myself, And we quickly figured out that coaching is my sweet spot, my thing to do. I can't help not to coach. Honestly, I learn at the moment not to coach. That's more a joke, not to coach everybody, but it's a natural thing I love to do, to see the options for somebody else. So the little changes they can do to maybe, I don't know, take a sabbatical. And then from then on, I learned how to handle my fears, how to hand in my notice. I did a pilot project with awesome pilot coaches. And from the first minute on, I loved doing it. And this is great because I didn't, well, my other job, it was really good. And the first years, I was totally excited about the old job. But during the past 2-3 years, I was always thinking, oh, there must be more. I want to change again. It's also maybe because every 7-8 years, I change my job. Anyway, and when I had the pilot project with the coaches, I was, after each coaching session, I was just so happy and energized and fulfilled and thinking, wow, I would love to do this for the next years.
How did you find those coaches to start off with? Who were they?
This is funny because when I was thinking, oh my God, how can you get there from your corporate job to being a freelance coach? I was thinking, and while my coach was proposing me do a pilot project, I was thinking, oh my God, how can I find these people? Nobody wants my coaching. And then the funny thing is I started to talk about it. I didn't even figure out how many sessions, really I didn't set it up, but I started to talk about it. And that's also something I do with my coaches when we have mini projects they're doing. I motivate them to talk about it because then it becomes already a thing. It becomes real. You get the reaction and it's a thing. And then the more I was talking about it with friends or people I met, I got more and more feedback. And within 2 weeks, I had, I think, already the two coaches. I was also in Facebook groups, and by coincidence, it was just the right timing and the right moment. So I had already two coaches, and then I had to design really the pilot project, deciding over which period of time, if you do email checks, check-ins, how many sessions. And I wanted to put up a little website, and I remember, and I put up the pilot project website, but I had already then 4 clients or 4 coaches before I even put up the website, so I didn't need it anymore. It just happened by coincidence. It was the brother of a friend, then over the Facebook groups. It just, and that's something when you do something according to your, I always call it the internal GPS from Martha Beck, the really what something according your natural talents. It just flows. It just comes automatically. It was so easy. And it felt good. And this is also what was reassuring me, Nicole. This is a good thing because that was my strategy because I had a lot of fears about quitting my job. I was thinking, okay, because then after 1 week, I have to sleep under the bridge, the famous bridge we are all scared to sleep under. But honestly, it's not from one day to another and honestly, I don't know anybody who has really ended up under that bridge because there's so many options to earn money. And usually you know yourself very well. And I had the 3 options, well, the coaching business. I could also earn money as a translator again or interpret, not interpreting because I'm not able to do simultaneous interpreting anymore. But I could do translations or I could do in my old job as a business consultant. Or the coaching. And this, again, usually I would have built up the business consultancy website. Plus, I would have invested some energy to get some translations. And then I would have done the coaching besides. But this time I said, no, you're going to do it a little bit different. Look where you want to go. What is really in flow with you is the coaching business. So I concentrated all my energy on the coaching, and I haven't put up yet the business consultant website. The funny thing is, I was thinking that I would coach only the people who want to quit their business, their job, or want to ask for a sabbatical. Mm-hmm. And 50% of the people I'm coaching, they're business starters, or they have already a business and want to get to the next level. So all my previous experience, my business experience, and how to build up the business, the brand, how to do the marketing, I can use that for my coaching clients. And I may even develop a special coaching program for business starters. So mm-hmm. the business consultant side will be integrated somehow. At the moment, I don't know. If it's an interesting program or project, I might even go back into corporate for a certain time, but not for a long time. Unless they are located in Hawaii. That's a whole other story.
Okay. Another thing that came to my mind that I wanted to speak to you about was the financial side of things and making this change from going from a corporate, very structured environment to then going freelance, even though you'd worked freelance previously. There's many changes in terms of deciding what you want to do, where you want to live, but also financially, how are you? It's a very different setup. And how did you manage that, I was wondering? And how do you help other people make that financial transition?
Well, the financial side is so it was very important for me, and it still is, because I always try to figure out which financial type my coaches are. For example, I'm very careful. I never spend more than I have. I always have savings. So, but still, I mean, I had really good savings, but still to hand in my notice would freak me out. So what helped me was to develop a financial plan. And that is something I do with every coachee, because if you don't figure out your financial situation, well, not every little figure, but the big picture, it can send you in immediately into your panic zone. Always like, and you have to leave your comfort zone also financially. But I always try to stay in the stretch zone, because as soon as you're in the panic zone and you can't pay the rent or you can't afford that flight, you want a book to get home, then you're constantly worrying about, and you don't have a good energy to build up your business. And that is why although I had savings, it wasn't a question really of my savings. I had to build up a plan. I figured out what are my fixed costs, like rent, health insurance, really just the big numbers. And then you have an amount X you need as a minimum for you. Then I always have the what you need to get on well. So this is a little, so you have a range, and then you say, okay, I give myself permission 4 months, even if I don't earn any euro or dollar for 4 months, it doesn't matter, but I give myself this business Kickstarter financial cushion. This was also an idea of my coach, which was really, that saved me, because I wouldn't do the leap without having that permission to have during the first month not to have to earn the money. And then you start earning money for the next month. So for example, for the fifth month, and as soon as you have earned the money, you can push your financial cushion a little bit further. And yeah. So I would always, and if it's somebody who, usually people tell you, they say, well, I often spend more money than I have. Then it's more about building up the savings and having a closer look to it. And for the more careful type, it's more to give yourself permission to take your savings and to invest it, because it's an investment in your future. It's an investment in your business. And I mean, you can also buy a car or have a big, big wedding or have a luxurious. It's not that expensive when you start out, especially today with the online business. It doesn't, well, You need a notebook and you need some programs and that's it. And then you have the living, and then you have the living costs. It's really feasible. What I always recommend is, I always have my financial date at the end of the month. I really look, mm-hmm. what do I have? Am I still in budget? And then I go on for the next month. And it's the best feeling when you get your first payment from your first client. That is really, it's all the efforts. It's really worth it, because then you see, wow, it really works. And your client is happy, you are happy. It's awesome.
Nicole, that's been brilliant speaking with you today. I thought, just before we finish, is there anything else? I think thinking of people who are starting out, anything for people who are wondering, thinking, God, there's so many things I need to think about, money, what to do. Where should people start if they want to take that first step? They know they'd like to make a change and perhaps explore a freelance way of working, perhaps, or whether it's, you know, finding out whether that's for them or not. What would you advise people to do?
Oh, that's interesting. I think it always depends on the person. There are persons who can do bigger leaps at first. Other people really need a sabbatical to reconnect with themselves. I would say get inspired by as many books, people, speak to people. Oh, yes, this is a good one. Find out which life you would love to live. Sometimes you find role models and with whom you would like to change your life. And then really figure out how they got there, and that will tell you a lot about yourself. For example, it can be an author, and then you're suddenly, oh yes, I always wanted to write more. And then you can start, okay, I start to write a blog, or I do writing workshops, and then you go into the writing thing, and you can do a course over the weekend. So I would always say, try it on a mini scale, what you want to do afterwards. Like I did my yoga teacher training. I figured out I don't want to be a yoga teacher. So do really a lot of little projects and take your time. Because if you think, well, I have to quit my job and from the next week on, I'm going to be in your new life, that won't happen. It's a whole transition and it's a change of your identity. The shift, even if you want to quit your job, you're miserable in your job, even then it takes time that you can say goodbye to your old identity.
I think it's really important to bear in mind that there's so many, all these elements to it.
And then, of course, what always helps, and if you're not afraid of the ocean, start to surf. It can change your life.
Brilliant.
Just a week. Just give it a try for 3-4 days. Because if on the first day there are not good conditions, give it a try for 3-4 days and just enjoy. Catch one wave at least in your life.
Thank you, Nicole. It's been brilliant speaking with you today.